Hey, you guys. Time once again for Flickers of Fear, my little movie review series. Yes, I finally got around to seeing this movie. I actually wanted to go see it in the theater, but by the time I sort of got my lazy ass around to it, it wasn't playing anymore. And then I was like, well, I can watch it on streaming, but then for a while it was $20. And I said, well, I don't really want to pay $20 to see it, but finally, on the streaming service, it was down to like $5.99, and I was like, okay, that's reasonable. I'm finally going to watch it now. So this is the 2022 movie X. So as most horror fans will know, this was directed by Ty West. This is his newest one. Now, Ty West started back in 2005, I think, was his first movie. It was called The Roost, which I think was like a killer bat type movie. I actually haven't seen that. But it wasn't actually until 2009 when that his sort of satanic panic throwback sort of flick, House of the Devil, came out that everybody kind of said, hey, here's a guy we need to pay attention to. And then after that, in 2011, he did The Innkeepers, which is like a really good, like creepy paranormal type horror. And then in 2013, he released his kind of like found footage reimagining of the Jonestown Massacre, which is called The Sacrament. It's basically like a couple guys from Vice, and they go to a modern approximation of Jonestown, and it's like a found footage, which actually is like pretty good. I actually didn't mind it. It got some mixed reviews, but I think I liked his other movies better, but it's actually like really good. Now, after that, it seemed like he didn't necessarily go away from horror, but he like branched out a little bit, I guess. Like, he directed a Western in 2016. I can't remember the name of it right now, but, and he did a lot of kind of, TV episodes. Like, he did Wayward Pines and The Passage and The Resident, like some dramas, sci-fi, some horror in there as well. So then in spring of 2022, much to horror fans' delight, he comes out with this sort of grungy retro slasher flick called X, which was released through A24. So I'm again very excited about it, and I was very excited about it. Like I said, it's sorry it took me like so long to finally get around to seeing it. I was just waiting for the price to come down, because like I said, if I go see it in the theater, then I don't have to pay because I have AMC Stubs A-list, so I get to see three movies a week, like for however much it is, like $20 a month or something. So I was like, well, if I couldn't see it in the theater and not have to pay, then I didn't want to pay $20 just to see one movie, so I had to wait for it to like come down to a reasonable price. So that's why I took them, but I did get around to watching it finally. So the movie X is set in 1979, and it's very obviously an homage to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original 1974 one. You know, the setup of it is very similar, and there's a lot of stuff in it that you will recognize that it's homaging, like on purpose. It's also kind of, I don't want to say it's parodying, but it is kind of, again, lovingly homaging sort of like the golden age of porn, which sort of started in the late 1960s to late 1970s. You know, movies like Deep Throat and The Devil and Miss Jones and things like that. You know, so it's kind of going for that kind of shit as well. So this movie, I have to say, I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It's a very, very entertaining, it's very period accurate, like to the late 1970s, very gory, like the kills are really gruesome, which I really enjoyed, and it also has like some sly humor to it as well, which I also really liked. So it's just kind of like, you know, just basically a fun throwback to late 70s, early 80s porn and slashers, like kind of all mingled in there together. Also, a little bit of an oddly sympathetic, I guess, I don't want to go too far like saying sympathetic, but the villain is a little bit sympathetic in the sort of psychobitty subgenre, as they call it, which was a term I only learned like a few months ago, and I'm like, oh my god, that's fantastic. But it basically has to do with any horror movie where like an old lady is like the villain, like a grotesque old lady. So this kind of has that going for it as well. So our main character is played by Mia Goth. She's been in several things. She was in A Cure for Wellness. She was in the 2018 Suspiria remake. She's actually great in this. So she's this aspiring porn star named Maxine Mink. And she looks full on late 70s sex pop, man. She's got like the feathered hair. She's got like all these freckles. She has like this electric blue eyeshadow. She's wearing these kind of like overalls with nothing underneath them. It's so fucking 70s that it hurts, and like the lip gloss and everything. It's like they really, really got it like spot on. So she's kind of a great, but I'm, you know, she looks great, but she also has like a lot of kind of like layers going on, even though this isn't really explicitly stated outright. she seems to have a lot of insecurities about her appearance. And specifically, like I said, they don't explicitly state this, but because she has so many freckles, and a lot of they put like a lot of freckles on her, like, and there's like they're very, very thick, like around her eye and everything like that. So I think she's sort of like insecure about her appearance and has gone maybe into porn as sort of like self-validation, I guess, because and she always like projects this confidence, like her this comfort with her body, which maybe she doesn't entirely feel, but she's like really good at sort of projecting that. And she's kind of one of those people that just thinks, I deserve the very best, and I'm not gonna stop until I get it. You know, she's like very impatient. She wants everything like right now. So she has an older boyfriend who is also the porn producer. His name is Wayne, and he's actually played by Martin Henderson, who I recognize from The Ring. He's been in like some other things as well. So he tells Maxine that she basically has that X factor, which again, it's kind of interesting how the title X, it almost kind of has like a triple meaning because it's like it refers to the X factor, like she has it or whatever the star quality is. Also, because X, because it's like about porn, like about a porn movie. And also X, I'm assuming, because like X chromosome, like because it's a female killer and it's kind of like about, is I don't know if it's, I'd go so far as to say it's about female sexuality per se, but it does have that like as a big theme. So her boyfriend tells her, you know, you've got the X factor. This new movie that we're working on is going to make you a star, and it's going to make all of us really, really rich. You know, it's going to be this next big thing in porn. And they kind of, because this is 1979, the guy is like looking ahead to the burgeoning, you know, home video market, which, you know, again, was something that actually was going on back at that time. So these two are accompanied by two more kind of like veteran, porn performers. Bobby Lynn, who is played by Brittany Snow, who I recognize from Would You Rather, and the wonderfully named Jackson Hole. I was like, that's his porn name. It's fantastic. I was like, Jackson Hole, that's amazing. He's actually played by rapper, singer, songwriter Kid Cudi. And also, they have like the guy who's making the film, like, you know, the cinematographer, filmmaker, whatever. His name is RJ. And I was like, oh, I just saw that guy in a movie. It's Owen Campbell. He was just in My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Like, he played the vampire. So that's where I remember him from because I just saw that not too long ago. And he has a girlfriend who's also the sound engineer for the film, and her name is Lorraine. She's played by Jenna Ortega, who was in the new Scream movie, like the 2022 one. She was in Insidious Chapter 2. I think she started out on Jane the Virgin, that TV series. So yeah, so these are kind of like all pretty well-known people that you will recognize. So just like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this whole gang have all piled into their Scooby van, I guess, if you want to call it that. And they're heading out to this remote farm in Texas. Now, this actually wasn't shot in Texas. This was actually set in New Zealand, but I didn't know that it was in Texas. I mean, it looks pretty good still. Now, they do, just like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they have like a little bit of foreshadowing, I guess, like while they're on their way there, where like this cow has gotten hit by a semi and it's like pretty nasty and it's like just splattered all over the road. You know, and the cops are kind of like, you know, directing everyone around it. So that's kind of so you know like some bad shit's gonna happen like down the way. So it turns out that they've rented this cabin from an elderly couple, and that's where they're gonna shoot the porno movie. Although obviously they haven't told the old people this. The movie is actually called The Farmer's Daughters because I guess they couldn't think of more of a, like a less cliche title, but there you go. I guess that's kind of like part of the joke. So when they get there, the old man, whose name is Howard, and he's actually played by Steven Ure, and he's like unrecognizable in this. He was in Deathgasm. I think he was in some episodes of Ash vs. Evil Dead and stuff like that, but he's under like old man prosthetics, so you probably won't recognize him. So he gets there and he's like, oh, well, I just thought it was gonna be one dude, like Wayne and maybe his girlfriend, but I didn't know all you fuckers were coming. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I'll give you extra money. And he's like, well, I don't really like the looks of you guys. But he takes their money anyway. And he's basically like, yeah, well, just behave yourselves and don't upset my wife, Pearl. She's not well and she gets confused and she kind of like wanders around sometimes. So just kind of like leave her alone and stay away from the house and shit like that. And you do actually see Pearl like kind of like creeping and like looking out the window at them, like watching them arrive and shit like that. Interestingly, and I don't know, I guess for a little while it was kind of like a secret, but if you go on the Wikipedia page, it's not. But like Pearl is actually played by Mia Goth also, like the main girl in this that plays Maxine. Again, because I was sitting there going, man, she looks familiar. And I was like, oh, it's the same chick. But like it didn't really occur to me until like afterward. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that would be okay. Yeah. So it was the same. So she plays like a dual role. But like I said, she has so much prosthetics, like the old people prosthetics in this are actually really, really good, that you probably would not recognize, or I didn't recognize that it was the same actor. And the fact that she plays both roles is kind of like thematically relevant as well. So for about the first half of the movie, we're just basically hanging out with this group of people as they start filming their porn extravaganza, the Farmer's Daughters. And, you know, they're just kind of like sitting around drinking beers, you know, having conversations about appreciating your youth and, you know, sexual liberation and stuff like that. Like I said, this is 1979. So they're kind of going into that. Now, Lorraine, who is kind of like very, very shy, very retiring, the others actually call her Church Mouse. And she didn't know, like, coming out here that this was going to be a porn film. I guess her boyfriend didn't tell her. So at first she's kind of like appalled and shocked and everything like that, watching, like, and she has to stand there with the boom mic, like, while they're, you know, going at it. And she's like, you know, really kind of offended. But then, like, the more she watches it, like, the more into it she gets, so much so that eventually she asks Wayne, the producer, if she can be in the movie herself. Because she wants to, like, try it out and, like, you know, do this whole sexual liberation thing. And ironically, her boyfriend, RJ, is absolutely not having this and tries to come up with all these excuses why she can't do it. Even though, ironically, he had, like, teased her for being a prude when, you know, before they got there and when she found out that it was a porn shoot and she was, like, all offended by it. And he's like, oh, you're such a prude and stuff. But obviously, when she wants to be in the movie, oh, no. You know what I mean? He can't do it. I was like, yeah, that's pretty typical. Now, meanwhile, the spooky old lady, Pearl, is kind of, like, skulking around. Now, the cabin they're staying in is, like, on the old people's property, but it's kind of, like, a distance away, you know what I mean? It's kind of, like, across this big field. So she's kind of, like, wandering around, like, looking in the windows, like, watching them, like, while they're shooting the movie, like, watching the people having sex and stuff like that, and you can tell she's kind of... that she's kind of into it, but like in a kind of resentful way. There's also like a really creepy scene where Maxine kind of goes to the house, like looking around, like to ask somebody something. And she has this really, really weird like interaction with Pearl where they're like sitting across the table and they're having lemonade and they're not really talking, and Pearl is just kind of, like, looking at her really creepily, and then she, like, says all this stuff to her, like, Maxine is, like, looking at pictures of Pearl when she was, like, younger, and she's like, see, I was beautiful once, and all this other stuff, and then she starts to, like, kind of touch her, like, creepily, like, on her side boob and stuff, and she's like, what the fuck, this is, like, really weird. So it's that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so it turns out that what Pearl's deal is that old Howard, her husband, can't really give her what she needs anymore sexually because he has a bad heart, and he's like afraid he'll keel over. So Pearl has been getting increasingly resentful of being constantly reminded that she can't sexually get what she needs anymore, that she's not young and beautiful anymore, you know, that now she's this very, very old woman. And so she is getting, like, really resentful at seeing, like, all these beautiful young people, like, just kind of swanning around the property, you know, being all young and hot and humping each other and without a care in the world and shit like that. So it gets to a point where Pearl's frustration eventually builds up to a point where she just starts, like, offing them one by one. So, like, it's, you know, it's a slasher movie, so pretty much everybody's gonna get killed. And I have to say the kills in this are actually pretty great. They're pretty disgusting, very gory, and it mostly looks like practical effects, which is fantastic. Implication also being that she's done this before. You don't really know how many times, but at least once, and maybe more than that. And the thing about it is that Howard, while not directly participating in the killing, for sure knows what she's doing and helps her cover shit up and helps her out, like, in her. So he's kind of her accomplice, I guess. So as I mentioned, X is a classic slasher, like, in its own right. But it does a couple, like, takes a couple different, like, spins with some of the tropes. One of the main tropes that it sort of upends is the virginal one as final girl. Like, it kind of upends that some. And I feel like, for a slasher, it's generally pretty sex positive. Because, you know, your classic slashers were usually, you know, the more promiscuous you were, like, the more punished you got. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen here, because, like I said, pretty much everybody gets killed. But it's not necessarily, like, the most virginal one that survives. And it's not necessarily, like, Pearl's motivations, while sexual, are not really in the way that they're, like, she's not so much punishing them for having sex. She's punished, well, I guess she is, but she's punishing them for having sex because she can't have any. You know what I mean? So it's kind of more like that, more than a sort of reactionary type of theme, I guess. So it does, like, a couple different, like, kind of things with it. The thing about Pearl, too, is that she seems to have almost, like, a sexual attraction toward Maxine herself. You know, there's one point where she, like, you know, turns up in her bed and she's, like, you know, caressing her and stuff like that. I don't know if it's so much, like, she wants to fuck her or if she just wants to be her. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of stuff about Pearl, you know, lamenting her lost youth, how she used to be this beautiful young dancer, and it's like Howard would do anything for her. All she had to do was, you know, be beautiful and, like, bat her eyelashes, and men would be, like, wrapped around her little finger. And the fact that she can't have that anymore is, like, really, really getting to her. So she is lamenting that, and also, like, what the very long years that she's lived have, like, done to her face and her body, because obviously she looks like a very, very old woman now. So yeah, there's some kind of weird, like, you know, real creepy, this is not creepy, but it's meant to, like, show her as grotesque, but also, like, sympathetic. And she is sympathetic. It doesn't excuse what she does, obviously, because she just, like, kills a bunch of innocent people, but you understand where she's coming from. She's still a villain, but you understand, like, where she's coming from. And in some of the scenes, particularly where she's talking to Howard, you do kind of, like, feel sorry for her and for him as well, like, a little bit. Even though, like I said, it absolutely doesn't excuse what they do, because they do some pretty fucked up shit. So yeah, the whole look and feel of this movie is a real highlight. I really do like these movies, and it's Ty West in particular, who really tries to make movies that look very much like something that could have come out in 1979, and this absolutely does look like that. Just the way it's shot, it really does look and feel like a 1979 movie. They also use kind of a lot of period appropriate, like, AM radio kind of music and shit like that, which really kind of puts you in that whole vibe, that whole headspace, because I was alive back then, so I kind of remember what it was like. I mean, I was only, like, 7 or 8, but still. And the characters are all, like, interesting, and they're largely likable. It's like, they're a little bit douchey, but not really, like, not in a way that you want to see them get killed. So it actually is just entertaining, just kind of, like, hanging out with them, too, like, for the first half of the movie or whatever, before people start getting killed. But then again, it's also entertaining, but also a little bit of a bummer, like, when they start getting killed, because you're just like, aw, because you kind of liked them, you know what I mean? I don't know, I just thought that was good. The characters were all really good and, like, really distinct from one another. It wasn't a kind of thing where they were all kind of, like, samey. Like, they didn't go huge into their backstories, but they all had, like, enough of a distinct personality that they all seemed like separate people without being samey. So I thought that was really good too. But again, like, the gore in this is pretty great. People get bludgeoned, they get stabbed, they get eye gouged. There's a scene in there that reminded me very much of, you know, a Lucio Fulci style eye gouging. So points there. You know, somebody gets blasted with a shotgun. People get run over with cars, like, their heads get run over with cars. And it's just, it's pretty glorious. Like, it's really, really gruesome, and I really dug it. So, I mean, if you're into 70s or 80s slashers and want to see something of, like, a more modern take on one that still kind of still has that vintage vibe, like, retains that vintage vibe a little bit, then X is, like, really absolutely worth seeing. It's really fun. It's really gruesome. Has lots of nudity, lots of sex, lots of great kills in it. And has a killer that has a little bit of a different thing going on, you know, something you don't see, like, in a lot of slasher movies. And I will say that I think of all of the horror movies, of all of Ty West's horror movies that I've seen, which is all of them except for The Roost, This one's easily my favorite. Like I said, I really did like his other ones, but this one's really, really good, and I liked this one a lot. It was just a lot of fun. So that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. Let me know what you thought about X in the comments, and I will see you again on the next one. Bye.